Greetings, everyone. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry welcoming you to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. If you have any questions or comments you feel would be a blessing to others, please feel free to call me during the last half of the show at 1-800-858-6582. If you're using, if you have unlimited long distance or a cell phone, please use 559-733-5161. If you're listening to this broadcast online at firstamendmentradio.com using dial-up and do not have access to a second phone line at this time, I invite you to join me at the website at remnantofgod.org. Once you get there, you'll see a silver microphone on the main page. Just click that mic, follow the prompts. You'll get to the public room of the POGM audio chat, and it's free. It downloads in a couple of minutes if you're using dial-up. It's only 1.3 meg. And you can share any comments or questions you have with me during the show at that time. Okay, let's get right to it. In mid-June of this year, the Pope himself spearheaded a public relations ploy designed to place the infamous Office of Inquisition in a better light. This Pope and his media experts have bluntly lied about this hellish office so as to make all those they seek to attack and kill appear as conspiracy theorists by those that are duped into believing their lies. Only those that believe what the Vatican declares will think these people are, these Christians are conspiracy theorists. And as is always the case, the grand majority of the people of this world are spiritually lacking in the first place and completely unable to see what they're up to anyway. You see, this is why Satan is able to control the masses. This is also why in Noah's day, only 8 people survived the global flood. And this is also why we true Christians will in fact be looked upon as conspiracy theorists. The following article that I'm about to share with you was researched and released by the online Roman Catholic publication known as Zenit Organization. Headline: Crucial to have facts about Inquisition, says Pope. This is from Vatican City, of course, June 15th, 2004. Pope John Paul II reiterated the importance of a historical research so that the Church can purify her memory of the sins of her children, in particular the Inquisition. Instead of offering to the world the witness of a life inspired by the values of faith, the Pope continued, Christians on occasion, notice he says Christians on occasion, indulged in ways of thinking and acting which were truly forms of counter-witness and scandal. First off, Christians don't do that. You see, this is how you can get Christians in a bad light, by saying Christians are the ones that did these things. Followers of Christ don't do this. Continuing the article, it says, Borromeo explained, this is one of the guys that's doing the research, he explained that Pope Gregory the Ninth, this was back in 1227 and to 1241 AD is when he was around, was the first to establish inquisitors, delegates of the Apostolic See, with the task of combating heresy in certain areas. Obviously, a request for forgiveness can only affect real and objectively recognized events. Well, somebody says there now in the article, forgiveness is not asked for images spread by public opinion, which are part of a myth and do not correspond to reality, he said. Now, oh, and by the way, this is a Zenit Organization article, so if you use Get Zenit, just check out ZE04061509. For those of you that get Zenit, that's an article number. You know what that means. It's easy to find it that way. In this article, as well as many others, the Pope is seeking to make the Inquisition appear not as bad as some report. The wording alone seeks to downplay the horrendous and torturous acts this church performed on 100% innocent people, most of whom were true Christians dying for their faith. The Vatican stated that Christians indulged in ways of thinking and acting which were truly forms of counter-witness and scandal. Can you imagine? This evil church is saying that followers of Christ did these hellish acts, when in fact it was the Catholic Church leaders themselves that did these things, not Christians. Christians do not boil people in oil. They don't bury them alive. They don't burn them alive, and they certainly don't skin them alive or torture them for days on end before finally killing them. Christians are simply, unequivocally, unable to do acts of demons. Can't be done. Only the Roman Catholic forefathers did this. Still, this so-called apologetic man in Rome is seeking to place the blame on others for acts the Vatican itself has done, and it's always been the case with Rome. And as he does so at a time, I mean, he's doing this at a time when Muslims already have an inbred hatred for Christians. This is why they hate Christians. They hate Christians because of what the Catholic Church did to them in the past. This is historic fact that no one dares to debate anymore. It's just a no-brainer. You know it's true. It is that well known. But still, those nations and even religions that were attacked by Rome think Rome was a Christian entity doing those acts merely because Rome claims Jesus as Lord. Thing is, nothing could be further from the truth. Roman Catholicism is by no means a Christian religion. It is actually the religion designed by Satan to destroy Christianity by masquerading as Christians while doing those hellish acts. And I'm not talking about the Catholic people. They don't know what their leaders are doing. If they did, they'd be getting out of there. I'm not blaming the Catholic people. Their church is, but I'm not. Their own Pope is blaming them, but I'm not. My ministry has been for the last 19 and some years to evangelize to the Catholics, to try to share with them these truths. On March 12, 2000, when the Pope supposedly apologized, he stated that Catholics at times have not been faithful to the great commandment of love, sullying in this way the face of the Church. His church predecessors tortured and killed countless millions, but as usual, the Vatican and the Pope of this day says the Catholic people did it themselves. When will the Catholic people realize their Pope is blaming them for what the church leaders openly did, and they're letting them do it? The Pope always blames others for his acts. He blamed Christians and Catholics alike. Have you ever heard of a Christian or a Catholic person pulling someone down into their basement to strip them of their skin while they scream? No. Have you heard of Roman Catholic priests doing it? Yes. Have you heard of Roman Catholic priests telling the governing officials of the day to torture people? Yes, again. So why is Rome constantly blaming their faithful congregations for what they themselves did? Because they let them. There is no other reason. It's no different than the countless millions who stay in a church that not only admitted to killing these innocent people, they also admit to molesting their sons to this day. And these Catholics stay in this church. Why isn't there an uproar regarding these statements? Because for one, the media is controlled. And two, many fear Rome and see how they manipulate the truth and how stupid the masses truly are. And I'm not saying Catholic individuals are stupid. I'm talking about sheeple, global. I'm talking about everybody that's allowing these people, the couch potatoes, that don't want to get off their back ends to do something about this. Figure, oh, it doesn't really affect me. You know, no man's an island. Have you ever seen that one movie, It's a Wonderful Life? I mean, who hasn't? But it's a little annoying, I know, but the way the movie's put together, it kind of like makes it obviously apparent that no man is an island. You know, they know that if they do say something, you know, these people that do want to say things about the Roman Catholic Church and what they're doing, they know for a fact that the Vatican has proven time and time again that they are very capable of lying, twisting the facts, and forcing certain men in power to bow to their commands, even if it means to murder them. So those people that do want to speak out usually choose not to, figuring it will come to no avail anyway, and so why bother putting yourself in danger? So, the article also stated, forgiveness is not asked for images spread by public opinion, which are part of a myth and do not correspond to reality. In other words, the Pope is stating they seek no forgiveness for the so-called gossip we see in such works of literature as Fox's Book of Martyrs and other globally known sources of information that list the atrocities of the Church. He is not talking about actual gossip that is running amok, because hearsay is no threat to such a global entity as this. I mean, who cares what the little guy says? He is no doubt talking about those works of literature because those books document his Church's past. So he needs to belittle them as a defense, you know, the same way a defense lawyer rips into their defendant's victims. All along, the Church has claimed Fox's Book of Martyrs and those like it nothing but myths. For years and years and years, before the Pope even had admitted to these facts in March 12th of 2000, I was dealing with people on the street telling me there's no way the Catholic Church didn't kill anybody, not a single soul. This is what they were taught. But then on March 12th, 2000, the Pope admitted it. Why? Well, it's obvious. Anybody now can get this information, thanks to the Internet. And the Pope knows it. So, all along, the Church has claimed that Fox's book and those like it are nothing but myths, as well as out-and-out gossip from what they call anti-Catholics or Catholic bashers. Yet, the true Christians and their families do understand these things are quite true. In fact, many ex-Catholic priests and nuns have stepped forward to voice the truth regarding same over the years. I've got Sister Charlotte's testimony on my website in both audio and text format. And with her, and the problem is, like with most of them, they, after doing this, they simply wind up missing or found dead. This again affords the Vatican another opportunity to prevent further problems. Fear reigns supreme in many who do not trust the Lord when he said plainly that he has not given us a spirit of fear, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Isaiah 54:17. So a lot of people won't say anything because they don't trust the scriptures. They don't trust the guy that wrote them. I ask, why would the Pope be looking for positive public relations or PR for the Inquisition? And why now? Because he himself reinstated it in 1991, and the Vatican plans to use it soon. If they had no plans to use it, why reinstate it? They know that when the word gets out, this office is once again being used, the so-called gossip concerning it will cause problems for Rome. So, common sense says they need to bathe this hellish office in a light that is far more acceptable to the grand majority of sheeple out there that are truly incapable of seeing the truth for what it is. I mean, what better time than now? It's the twilight hours of the last days. Satan is about to burst forth in all his hellish glory, and the majority of the people the world over are sufficiently conditioned to fall for such hogwash as this, so they all jump at the chance. Headline, and you've heard me say this one before, Holy Office still exists. Pope John Paul II revives Inquisition. This is out of the NRA Trumpet, page 3, February of 1991. The thought of a revived Holy Office of the Inquisition would pacify some and offend others. Nevertheless, the Holy Office still exists, only its name has been changed. Pope John Paul II has been instrumental in its revival. One may argue that this Ratzinger-run agency, that's Cardinal Ratzinger, by the way, this Ratzinger-run agency is merely an attempt by the Catholic Church to root out communism or backslidden priests and their practices. However, with John Paul II's objective to implement God's mandate by creating a global church and state, which will administer from traditional Roman Catholic theology, is enough cause for alarm. Malachi Martin, that's Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, has already stated in his book, The Keys of This Blood, that the Pope will not tolerate any belief systems that oppose his, not on a civil or a church level. And just, what, a couple, 3 years ago, George W. said that we ought to embrace that which comes from Rome. We ought to embrace the teachings of the Vatican and be more serious about it. You know, the positive PR the Vatican cronies are looking to create is designed to make their actions appear not only moral, but it'll also make anyone speaking out against the Vatican to appear as weirdos. Yeah, it's similar to the way the Hollywood has portrayed the Christians for the last few decades. Have you ever noticed the strange-looking people Hollywood places in crowd scenes of their movies? Check it out next time. See what I mean. You know, the next time you see a movie setting inside a stadium or something like that where there's a big crowd of people, once in a while, they'll show you a person with a multicolored clown wig holding up a large sign that says John 3:16 on it. I've seen this more than once over the years. They look to make Christianity appear as a ridiculous faith. And by the way, it's not just Rome doing this. Look at some of those churches out there that have folks that dance with snakes or laugh uncontrollably in Toronto or bark like dogs in Tinley Park, Illinois. They make Christians appear strange. You know, when people walk into these churches and see how strange these people are acting and or saying and talking in these weird languages and rolling on the floor or collapsing at the feet of Benny Hinn, they decide that Christianity is a joke and not worthy of even investigating it. Because they know, if they do, if they have investigated anything in the Scripture, they know none of that's supposed to, you know, supposed to be happening anyway. Countless scores of people have exposed Rome and its lies. And yes, countless scores have been killed for it. Plus, it's no longer as if the Vatican is trying to hide its evil past, or present, for that matter. You know, still, people that willingly or willfully allow the satanic agency to blind them are the ones who defend it. You know, I frequent the news groups a lot and share some sermons or tracts or whatever. And I do have a tendency to go into the Catholic news groups because I have a burden for them. I was Catholic at one time. And it seems lately, this is why I stop every now and then, it seems lately they use hate, name-calling, insult, and even death threats to try to get you to leave. When you share biblical scripture, you don't even have to make any comments. Just put a sermon or something in a Catholic news group. See what I mean? You can get them if you want. You can go to Google and get them if you don't have news group software. But Google, it's free. Just go to groups where it says groups and type in Catholic and then pick one of them. And it's not just the Catholics either. They're all doing it now. It seems like hatred is just part of the evangelistic tactic. The media is literally drenched today with everything from child molestation to drunken bishops killing people in hit-and-run accidents. But those of us that expose these sins or expose Rome are called the evil ones, according to these people you run into on the street or the news groups or in email or on the Internet or on the radio. And everyone believes them over those that have bona fide, factual data exposing this Antichrist. Amazing, isn't it? I was just talking to a guy the other day in email, and he's believing all these things that were pro-Catholic, and I'm showing him documented evidence, and he won't even look at it because it's anti-Catholic, he says. That's the mindset. They won't even bother to look at it. It's sad. I remember one time I was watching Catholic television, EWTN, which I'll be talking about in a minute, too. You wouldn't believe what I found on their website. And that's Eternal Word Television Network. It's a Roman Catholic national television network. I was at a loved one's house, let's just put it that way. And they had this nun. It was a Carmelite nun, you could tell, because she had the brown clothing on, and she had this gigantic wooden cross on her chest, and she starts praying to Mary and calling Mary the bright morning star. So I raced across the room, grabbed the Bible of this person, opened it up to the last page of the Bible, Book of Revelation, chapter 22, and showed him out, says, I, Jesus, am the bright and morning star. Pointed to it, and that person would not look at it. Turned away, wouldn't even look at it. Headline. Vatican dispels Inquisition myths. BBC News Online. The Inquisition reached its peak in the 16th century. The Vatican has published a new study on the abuse. This is what really bothers me. It's the Vatican publishing the study. And nobody's going to believe it. It's biased, people. They're not going to tell you the truth. They have lied in the past. Anyway, getting back, the article says the Vatican has published a new study on the abuses committed by the medieval Inquisition and come to a rather surprising conclusion that, in fact, the much-feared judges of heresy were not as brutal as previously believed. According to the 800-page report, like, who's going to waste their time reading that? But anyway, the 800-page report, the Inquisition that spread fear throughout Europe throughout the Middle Ages did not use execution or torture to anything like the extent history would have us believe. In fact, the book's editor, Professor Agostino Borromeo, the guy I was talking about earlier, he claims that in Spain, only 1.8% of those investigated by the notorious Spanish Inquisition were killed. Nonetheless, as the report was published, Pope John Paul II apologized once more for the interrogator's excesses, expressing sorrow for the errors committed in the service of truth by the recourse to non-Christian methods. The punishments meted out for wrongdoers ranged from being forced to visit churches and make pilgrimages to life imprisonment or even execution, or torture and execution by burning it at the stake. The accused did not have the right, listen to this, Tell me where you heard this one before. The accused did not have the right to face and question their accuser, and it was acceptable to take testimony from criminals and excommunicated people. There's convenience there. The Inquisition reached its peak in the 16th century as it battled the Reformation, but its most famous trial was that of Galileo in 1633, condemned for claiming the earth revolved around the sun. Which was true, on top of it. The Spanish Inquisition, which became independent from the Vatican in the 15th century, carried out some of the most famous, or infamous, rather, abuses under its actos de fe, or act of faith, shorthand for death by burning. These zealously tortured victims held summary trials, forced conversions, and passed death sentences. The article goes on to say that there is no doubt that at the start, the planned procedures were applied with an excessive rigor, which in some cases degenerated into true abuses. Hey, you start the torture, whether it's light or not light, it's an abuse regardless. But anyway, it looks like they're trying to okay it, and you'll see why in a minute. Continuing, it says, the Vatican study simply says of this dark period, but the Vatican report, the product of a six-year investigation, insists that the Inquisition was not as bad as often believed. Professor Borromeo says, for example, that for 125,000 trials of suspected heretics in Spain, what was that, just 1 year? Anyway, getting back, it says, less than 2% were executed. He says that often mannequins were burned to represent those tried in absentia and condemned to death, and heretics and witches who repented at the last minute. Now, listen to this. Heretics and witches who repented at the last minute, in other words, accepted the Roman Catholic Christ over the, you know, any other Christ or the real one, who they'll call heretics and witches, who repented at the last minute, were given some sort of relief when they were strangled before being burnt. Little comfort. But for those connected with victims of the Inquisition, Vatican claims that it was not as bad as thought, carried little weight. Galileo was the Inquisition's most famous victim, of course. And it closes out saying, among those targeted by the interrogators from were the Waldenese, members of the Protestant sect declared heretical in the 12th century. If there are many or few cases, it doesn't matter. What's important is you don't say, I am right and you are wrong and I burn you, said Thomas Nolfke, a U.S.-born Waldenese pastor in Rome. Who, in their right mind, is going to believe this pack of lies? You know, I wonder, would this article have been released before the Roman Catholic commercial I like to refer to as the Passion of the Antichrist? Would it have been well received? I mean, countless scores of Protestants are now looking at Rome as moral and holy and a trusted entity thanks to that blasphemous film. Had these articles about the Inquisition been released before the film, I am sure most people would think, who do you think they're trying to tell us about? Who are these people? You know, lying to us about history. Come on, they're out there molesting the kids. They just admitted in 2000 to killing people. I mean, you know, are you kidding me? We're going to believe you, but wait. Now they're holy, thanks to the Passion movie. So now that so many people accept that Catholic commercial as biblically accurate, and they look to Rome as being a Christian again, Rome goes for it. Problem is, there are an elect of God that Rome has to contend with now. We know this church has lied before. Plus, we know they lied in the past during the Inquisitions. We also know they lied about helping Hitler. And we also know they lied about molesting their own children for as long as there is recorded history, up and including to this day. So I ask, do we think they're not lying now? I literally chuckle at the stupidity of that assumption. After the article states only 1.8% were actually killed, it says, nonetheless, John Paul II apologized once more for the interrogator's excesses, expressing sorrow for the errors committed in the service of truth by the recourse of non-Christian methods. Using the word, nonetheless, to start that comment off is to say, you know, we don't really need to apologize for such a small number as this, but nonetheless, the Pope did anyway at this time. You know, that disgusts me to no end. What a sickening way to downplay the deaths of innocent people, as if they're not worthy of even apology. Plus, did you also notice this article admits to using the exact same methods our so-called homeland security liars are using today? The article stated the accused did not have the right to face and question their accuser, and it was acceptable to take testimony from criminals and excommunicated people. They did this to Jesus in his day. They did it during the 1,260-year Great Tribulation Jesus spoke of. They did it in Hitler's day, and they're doing it today. Another obvious trivialization of the truth was found when the article stated that there is no doubt that at the start, the planned procedures were applied with an excessive rigor, which in some cases degenerated into true abuses, as if it wasn't already there. Is that what they say, or better yet, is that why they say it's not as bad as it seems because they fudged the numbers to allow for abuses they say they never condoned anyway? You know, how convenient. This is no different than the fudged numbers released by the Vatican in February of 2004 regarding the priests that molested little boys over the years. They even admitted in the articles they didn't add the number of priests that have died over the years into the total number released to the press because they felt it wasn't necessary due to the fact that they were already dead. That alone gave a false sense of security to the easy-to-manipulate Catholic who chooses to stay in that church. They made the number appear much smaller. This fudging of the numbers regarding the Inquisition is no different. Sadly, so is the end result. Some will believe the lies Rome spews, simply because Rome never tells the whole story. In the article, Professor Borromeo says, for example, that 125,000 trials of suspected heretics in Spain, less than 2% were executed. Okay, let's assume for a moment that the Vatican's professor, that's right, the Vatican's biased professor, is telling the truth here. Let's assume that all those historic facts and eyewitness reports that have gone over from generation to generation that prove otherwise are wrong. It's just a bunch of malarkey. It's just, you know, and the Bible that speaks of these things occurring in the ways that they were was also a pack of lies. And that this pack of biased wolves from the Vatican itself are correct in saying only 125,000 went to trial and only 2% were burned at the stake or killed in other torturous ways. That means the Vatican is now admitting to torturing and killing only 6,250 people. But nonetheless, they apologized anyway. By the way, all those believing mannequins were burned, please raise your hands. I don't think I'm going to see many hands coming up. One last point I would like to make regarding this article before we go to break. It was said that those that repented at the last minute were given some sort of relief when they were strangled before being burnt. Can you imagine what they said to them to get them to deny Christ as Lord? They no doubt offered them freedom. We'll touch on that again after the break. Welcome back, everybody. The website, www.remnantofgod.org. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582. If you have a cell phone or unlimited long distance like most of us have today, 559-733-5161. As I was saying right before the break, it was said in that article that those that repented at the last minute were given some sort of relief when they were strangled before being burnt to death, but they were already killed. So, So can you imagine what they said to them to get them to deny Christ as Lord, to get them to so-called repent? You know, they probably offered them freedom or life if they denied the Jesus of the Bible for the Jesus of Rome. And then, to satanically seal their fate, I mean, they actually admit this, that they did these things. To satanically seal their fate as one who just openly denied Jesus Christ before God and heaven and man and the universe, they strangle them anyway, so as to assure that Satan gets his number. So in the future, those of you standing before possessed Roman Catholic priests, I implore you to remember one thing. To deny Christ is to die twice. Rome cannot be trusted anyway, but Christ can be trusted. No matter what you say, they're going to kill you anyway. Common sense affords us the reality that if they let you live after denying Christ, they no doubt fear that you will tell others of their torturous methods to get you to the point of denying Christ. So deny Christ, they kill you. Refuse to deny Christ, they kill you anyway. Of course, the difference here is, if they kill you for not denying Christ, you will live forever. That's the benefits of heaven. By the way, were you aware that modern-day Vatican chit-chat is such that they speak of the benefits of burning Christians at the stake right now as we speak? On my Evils of EWTN page in the RCC Exposed section of the website, I have an actual conversation that was posted on the EWTN message board online. It was between two Catholics. One of them was a doctor. I also have a bunch of other ones from some Catholic priest that was making some statements about one of the books of the Bible not being accepted by Protestants. And a lot of people put him in his place on that one and says, what are you talking about? But anyway, and for those that aren't aware, EWTN is the Eternal Word Television Network, or the National Roman Catholic Television Network in the United States. They posted this conversation I'm just going to share with you. It's just a quick one. They posted it back in May of 2002. After word got out that some websites gleaned the conversations to show others, EWTN promptly deleted the statements. Too late, though. Some of us already got them and put them on our sites. Now, here's just an excerpt of what they had to say. It's a little conversation that's going on regarding a subject called heretics, and it was a question from some guy named Jared on May 13th of 2002. And this is what he says. He goes to Dr. Carroll. He goes, in response to the post by Michael Edwards Roening on 5-11-02, I think that the popes during that time felt that killing of heretics was just. To figure, wouldn't it be a lot better for the general population if a few mainstream heretics were killed so that the whole population was not infected by the heresies of the few? Hey, this is a modern day person talking, folks. I mean, that was what they said back in them days. But continuing, he goes, what I am trying to say is that wasn't that bad of a terrible idea. Kill a few heretics to save the eternal souls of the population. That may seem harsh, but that is the basis of my assumption. And then he goes, thanks. And then Dr. Warren H. Carroll, PhD, on May 15, 2002, said, well stated, I agree with you. And then it's copyrighted for EWTN. Where have you heard this before? That's right, when the Pharisees were seeking a reason to kill our Savior. John 11:50 says, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should perish. What amazes me here is that no one seems to mind when the Vatican and their priests speak of torturing innocent people. No one seems to mind that Roman Catholic doctors of divinity openly agree that killing a few people by flames is an agreeable and acceptable act of the Church. In modern day, this graphically evil organization obviously feels no threat from the so-called authorities. Why do you suppose that is? Can anyone see the forest for the trees now? For those of us seeking confirmation that the U.S. government has been completely taken over by Rome, let's do the math. Prophecy states that an image of the beast must be set up. Since the Lateran Treaty was signed in 1929 by Cardinal Gasparri, making the Vatican a church and state once again, it has slowly but surely been taking over the United States government. Then in October of 2002, the Christian Coalition, that's right, Pat Robertson's 700 Club, started to graphically seek governmental changes designed specifically to make the U.S. government into both a church and state entity. He's constantly beating the daylights out of the separation. Pat Robertson's doing it. as well as the Vatican, but that's just their man right now to get the job done. It's always been the case with the Vatican. They get somebody else to do their dirty work. Can you see all the facts regarding this? I mean, if you want some more documented facts, just check out my October 2002 Truth Provided newsletter that's entitled Christian Coalition to Create Image of the Beast. It's right there in black and white. I think it's the old format, too. It has a black background with gray lettering. Sorry about that. I changed things since. A little easier on the eyes now. But now, of course, this is only one topic. One can take just about any topic of evil, look to Rome to see its inception, and then peer into the halls of Washington, D.C. to see the USA accepting it. Students of prophecy are not blind to the fact that the USA is, in fact, the prophesied lamb-horned beast of Revelation. I have a page all about it on the site. This lamb-horned beast will give power unto the beast in Rome. Because, I mean, think about it. How can the Roman Catholic Church, that little deaky little nation, control the planet without a superpower behind it? Everything from the Roman Catholic contrived blue laws of 1962 to the government vouchers for Catholic schools just a few years back confirm this nicely. However, the perfect image will have to do as Rome does behind closed doors as well. Rome favors force, terror, torture, and murder to get their agenda realized, so the USA is going to have to do the same thing. For example, on the topic of torture and government takeovers alone, history confirms that pagan Rome tortured and killed people. History also confirms that papal Rome tortured and killed people in their inquisitions. They admitted it. The U.S. government shows open signs of a Vatican takeover since the Blue Laws of 1962, and then Ronald Reagan faces the mall at his inauguration. Instead of facing the dome with the flag and making, you know, taking the inauguration for office, he turns around and he faces the mall, confirming Rome controls Washington, D.C. from within, because that was the sign the Jesuits were looking for outside D.C. to see whether or not it has been taken over. That was their sign. If a president was to turn around and face the mall, the Jesuits would have known globally. It's just like with their Masonic symbols that they do with the handshakes and the finger pointing. It's just a sign to let them know that business is getting done. That secret society thing. The Vatican also check this out. The Vatican reinstates the Office of Inquisition in February of 1991, and then 30,000 guillotines are shipped to American soil. I do have evidence of that on my website as well. I'll probably be talking about the guillotines next week, because I just got a new article about a guy that's just in his lifetime, and he's alive now. In Europe, they have talked him into, he's a descendant of a family that's always killed people, like an executioner. He uses guillotines. And he's killed over 200 people so far with a guillotine. And he's talking about how the best way to do it is to stand behind the person, grab hold of their ears, and pull. And then you tie their hands behind their back, and you tie their thighs and their ankles together, and that causes the head to jut forward. And then he pulls with the ears, and he says, you got to be careful. You might lose a couple. You know, he's joking about how you might lose a couple of fingers if you don't do it right. And that blade comes down. Got the whole article. If I get around to it, I might share it next week on the radio. I might even share it tonight. Who knows? But 30,000 guillotines are shipped to American soil. The IRS, the Senate, the Congress, and the Supreme Court are all speaking and causing laws of Rome to be put in effect, just like prophecy said, the speak and cause thing. And then the U.S. government is using torture now, as well as seeking legislation to make it legal in the mainland. And beheadings are now becoming commonplace in the news media via the Vatican-controlled religion of Islam. If anybody wants any information on the Vatican-controlled religion of Islam or Vatican-created Islam, I do have some information on the website. I did a radio broadcast about it as well, and I do now have the proof that when you tip over that seat that the Pope sits on, it says dedicated to Allah underneath it. There's a reason they started Islam. They wanted to get rid of the Jews and the Christians. Anyway, getting back. Headline, U.S. turns to torture to crack prisoners of war. This is by Dana Priest and Barton Gelman in the Washington Post. It says, deep inside the forbidden zone of the United States-occupied Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan are a cluster of metal shipping containers protected by a triple layer of Constantina wire. The containers hold the most valuable prizes in the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan, suspected al-Qaeda operatives and Taliban commanders. Those who refuse to cooperate inside the secret CIA interrogation center are sometimes kept standing or kneeling for hours in black hoods or spray-painted goggles. Intelligence specialists familiar with CIA interrogation methods say, at times, they are held in awkward, painful positions and deprived of sleep with a 24-hour bombardment of lights, subject to what are known as stress and duress techniques. Those who cooperate are rewarded by interrogators whose methods include feigned friendship, respect, cultural sensitivity, and in some cases, money. The most hardened cases are turned over, rendered, if you will, in official parlance, to foreign intelligence services whose practice of torture has been documented by U.S. government and human rights organizations. While the U.S. This is the same thing Rome did. Anyway, it says, while the U.S. government publicly denounces the use of torture, all of the national security officials interviewed defended the use of violence against captives as just and necessary. And they were confident the American public would back their view. The CIA has responsibility for interrogations, declined to comment. If you don't violate someone's human rights some of the time, you probably aren't doing your job, said one official who has supervised the capture and transfer of accused terrorists. I don't think we want to be promoting a view of zero tolerance on this, he says. The off-limits patch of ground at Bagram is one of a number of secret overseas detention centers where U.S. due process does not apply. Another is Diego Garcia, an island in the Indian Ocean that the U.S. leases from Britain. In other cases, usually involving lower-level captives, the CIA hands them to foreign intelligence services, notably those of Jordan, Egypt, and Morocco, with a list of questions the agency wants answered. I mean, how blunt is that? Continuing, they say, these extraordinary renditions are done without resort to legal process and usually involve countries with security services known for using brutal means. According to one official, who has been directly involved in transferring captives, the understanding is we don't kick the beep out of them. We send them to other countries so that they can kick the beep out of them. At a joint hearing of the House and Senate Intelligence Committee in September, Coffer Black, then head of the CIA Counterterrorist Center, spoke cryptically about the agency's new forms of operational flexibility in dealing with the suspected terrorists. All you need to know is that there was a before 911 and there was an after 911, Mr. Black said. After 911, the gloves come off. 911's a farce, folks. I mean, have you seen the videos online about all the evidence that proves it's not what you think it is? Another couple of small articles here. Headline, Rumsfeld approved torture techniques. This is from the June 4th, 2004, Washington Associated Press reporting says, United States Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld personally approved four special interrogation techniques used on two Al-Qaeda operatives held at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, who then talked about the terrorist network and its plans to the commander of U.S. forces in Latin America, said today. Army General James Hill, who heads the U.S. Southern Command, declined to describe the techniques. He said the other detainees might figure out a way to resist those techniques if they were disclosed. And then another one is from the Independent News, Washington Post. This is a headline. U.S. is using torture to interrogate top Al-Qaeda prisoners. December 27, 2002. So this has been going on for a while. The United States is subjecting top-level Al-Qaeda captives in its custody to extraordinary physical and physiological coercion. Blurring the line between acceptable interrogation and techniques under international law and outright torture. Now, can anyone see that this lamb-horned beast is now starting to look like the dragon-controlled beast in Rome? Just like the Bible said, it'll start off as a lamb-horned beast, which will grow into a dragon. This light torture, as some would call it, leads to graphic torture. Even Rome admitted that long ago. History proves the Vatican tried to do it lightly at first. But after men possessed by demons got a taste of torturing and killing Christians, the methods were abused, as Rome put it in the article I shared earlier. Spiritually speaking, they just got bloodthirsty, as is a natural human or animal reaction. In fact, this is why the plague of blood is administered onto them. Look at Revelation 16:6. It says, For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They're bloodthirsty. Give them what they want. That's why you get the plague of heat, too, with the sunlight. Hey, you're only going to worship the sun god? Well, here's what it's got to offer. As is so apparent in the first article, some people aren't cracking under the pressure the lamb-horned beast revelation is administering, so our government sends them to other countries where they will use much more intense methods of torture to get the information they seek. Rome did this first, and now the lamb-horned beast follows suit. They even admitted in the article that they send them there with a list of questions they need answered during the torture. This is exactly what Rome did long ago, and on March 12, 2000, the Pope admitted, as did many others, that they sent heretics to local authorities with questions they needed answered. The Church felt it would be better if they themselves weren't directly involved in administering the torture. That way they can sit back and play the moral king. So they got the Roman Catholic-controlled authorities to do it for them. And then they blame their Catholic followers and Christians. And did you also notice that other countries have known about the U.S. government's problem with torture before most of us in the States heard anything about it? It seems to have been going on for a while. By the way, this is not the only thing that has been going on for some time. In Canada, and oh my gosh, I got some more info. A friend of the ministry sends me a lot of information from Canada because he's from there. How he can stand to live in that country is beyond me, but, you know, hey, I'm in the USA. What's better? But in Canada, we see a bevy of strange laws popping up all over the place designed to benefit Rome as well as glorify sin. This is no doubt always, this is actually what's going to allow the sectioned-off regions of the world we will see created when a global government is realized. This will allow them to have certain laws in place in each continent. You know, what the American people object to? Well, the Canadians will pass as a law, and vice versa. Or maybe the Mexican government can pass this law if the Canadians don't want to do it or the USA doesn't want to do it. That way that one continent will have what it needs. All this is, of course, done for convenience. That way they can make sure their evil desires are accessible without much travel time slowing them down. Headline, Canada preparing to enforce Islamic law. Subtitle, judges will give legal sanction to disputes between Muslims. November 27, 2003, WorldNetDaily.com reporting. Canadian judges soon will be enforcing Islamic law, or Sharia, in disputes between Muslims, possibly paving the way to one day administering criminal sentences such as stoning women caught in adultery. Muslims are required to submit to Sharia in Muslim societies, but are excused in nations where they live as a minority under a non-Muslim government. Canada, however, is preparing for its 1 million-strong Muslim minority to be under the authority of the Sharia system, enforced by the Canadian court system, according to the Canadian Law Times. Cases will be decided by the Muslim arbitrator, but the local secular Canadian court will be the enforcer. How blind do these people think we are? The Vatican did the exact same thing during their inquisitions, and now we see the Canada following suit word for word. Imagine, if you will, some people in the USA, or even Mexico, for that matter, that have been accused of certain crimes they didn't commit, of course. Now, suppose the government wants them dead as per Vatican's command, you know, because they're part of the elect. All one needs to do is what the USA is already doing regarding torture. Just ship them to the country where certain barbaric acts are allowed. And now it appears we have one just across the border, so as to allow to get the job done the same day. Ah, the benefits of a one-world government. You know, to this day, the Vatican has declared they thought they were doing God's will when they kicked people out of the churches and then eventually tortured and killed them. Where, I ask, in the Bible is such decadence as this being allowed or sanctioned or suggested? And I could see it in the Quran of the Muslim that Pope John Paul, by the way, kissed and actually had himself photographed kissing. But I see, oh, by the way, kissing, it means it's total acceptance of what's in there. You wouldn't believe what's in those. It's some of the most disgusting things about killing and whatever else. But I got some of the information on my National Pride page. Anyway, but this kind of stuff, like, you know, killing Christians and that, I mean, of course, you're not going to find it anywhere in the Word. So how can they pretend to tell the masses a God of mercy would suggest such evils as this, especially after the word of this God of mercy openly condemns it? Look at Luke 3:14, do violence to no man. Look at Luke chapter 9, verses 54 to 56, it says, and when his disciples, now check this out, because it's kind of like, you know, they're asking the question, can we do these things? And then what does the Lord respond in regards to what they wanted to do? Listen, it says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, you know, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned, Jesus, of course, and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Then, of course, they went to another village. But the Vatican, I don't know, did they remove that verse from their Bible? We have the word of a mighty God that proves the Vatican is indeed the home to Satan. Our job is clear. Tell them what this word says. tell them their own church is mentioned as home to Antichrist and numerous prophetic confirmations from history. I've got a page on the website that's called The Characteristics of Antichrist. You can find it in the RCC Exposed section or the Prophecy section. It's in book form now because I more or less shared it on this radio, on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I did, like, I think it was like four-part series or three-part series. And I think it's only a couple of dozen prophetic facts. I mean, I wasn't going to go into all of them because there's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, big and little prophecies point to this Vatican. Tell these people. Tell your loved ones. Their priests are doing exactly as Jesus said Antichrist would do. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, that they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you is thinking he's doing God a service. Doesn't that sound like what the Pope said? We thought we were doing God's will when we kicked them out of the churches and killed them. Look what Jesus says in verse 3. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. They're not Christians. I know some Catholic Christians, I mean, they don't, you know, the Lord winks at our times of ignorance. We're all a work in progress, you know? But these leaders in this church that are doing these things, how can they be calling themselves Christians? The only reason they would do that is to make Christianity unpopular. The only reason the Catholic Church would claim to be a follower of Christ is so Muslims will hate Christians, because Muslims know what the Catholics did to them, and vice versa. You know, I hope you see clearly now as to why Rome seeks positive PR for the Office of Inquisition. The American government is their pawn, but their pawn cannot do the graphic atrocities it wants to do, so they need to make the Inquisition look acceptable so that the U.S. government can better facilitate their torturous demands even on U.S. soil, or at best, Canadian soil. And it's not just our continent. You know, it's all the other ones, of course. One last note to help drive this home. Now, it's a little bit off topic. Okay, the microphone's messing up again. Sorry about that, folks. Okay, there we go. It keeps on drooping on me. I got to get a new mic stand. So I got to lift it up and it makes all these weird noises. Anyway, one last note. Do you recall the newsletters, the audio clips, and the radio broadcasts I share regarding the homosexual agenda of Rome? Do you recall how the truth revealed in this matter was to help Rome get her so-called Christian agenda realized in Washington, D.C. for a national church and state conglomerate? Do you also recall the Christian coalition movements in this regard? Now hear this. Headline: Christians look to form a new nation within the USA. Subheadline: Same-sex marriage called last straw, prompting plan for one state to secede. May 24, 2004, WorldNet Daily. Calling the approval of same-sex marriage in Massachusetts the straw that broke the camel's back, a group of Christian activists is in the beginning stages of an effort to have one state secede from the United States to become its own sovereign nation. Already a dozen people are actively working on the project, and some 1,500 emails of support have been received. That's back in May. Continuing, it says, if all goes according to plan, Burnell, who is a math teacher, by the way, is hoping to have a constitutional convention by 2014 with the president of the new nation, still known as South Carolina, elected in 2016, which is a presidential election year for the U.S. at the same time. He says the nation would be founded on the Christian principles and that people writing its constitution would have to hash out details to safeguard it as Christian republic. For now, Burnell prefers to shy away from specifics on the precise laws governing the country. He says, independent first, details later. They are using the homosexual marriage war to push for religious forms of government. My opinion, it's not going to happen. Or, in that way, just in little South Carolina. Or is this a government method of corralling the Christians into one area for quick annihilation? Again, that's just, you know, brainstorming. Either way, Burnell is merely a pawn of the Roman U.S. government. He is testing the masses on this. Common sense, people. Does anyone think the government-controlled media would allow anything like this to get out so freely if they weren't involved in the first place? Thanks for listening. Stop by the website, www.remnantofgod.org. Thanks go out to First Amendment Radio for letting the truth go out freely. God bless.